Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends, family in Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, sharing, and especially for your prayers. I was telling the guys before we got started here today, just one of those nights where you don't get enough sleep, and I know how you guys can relate. But then I remember what the Bible says, that God can, when we are weak, God is strong in us, and we can do all things through Christ. So that's propelling me forward today. So anyway, appreciate you guys. I'm going to share some headlines here, and then I'm going to talk about some recent podcasts that have been really surprising, actually, some of the numbers. But today we're going to be talking about the media, and we're going to be talking about how there is a major spiritual battle going on. If you guys weren't aware of that, I know you are. When cultural chaos collides with comfortable churches in the U.S., that's what we're seeing today. Also, pastors need to stop assuming that their congregations know the basics of the Christian faith. You'd be surprised what those who proclaim to be Christians believe or think is biblical. And also, an article from Ken Ham, "Don't Buy the Lie," over half of U.S. adults claim religion, to get this, religion should not influence political decisions. So over half of U.S. adults, well, that's faulty. The old separation of church and state lie, we'll get to that. Also, this is interesting but not surprising, public trust in news media drops to another new low in a new Gallup poll. As if it wasn't low to begin with, now it's a new low. So that's, again, not surprising. So before we go on, I just want to mention just some of the podcast downloads. I was shown this just yesterday, and there's one of our guests, and I don't really want to name who the guest was in all of these, because I don't want to elevate one guest over the other, if that makes sense to you. But I'm looking at the top 10, and the number one so far we've got with downloads is 80,000 plus, 80,800 downloads for one podcast. Now, for us, we've only been doing this for 2 years, so those are pretty good numbers for us when you can get 80,000 plus downloads for just one podcast. And then we've got a lot of them in their 40s, 30s, and 20s. I think the bulk of them looks like are in their 20s, 20,000 plus downloads. So the top 10 look really good, and there's some great guests in there that you guys would know. So I just wanted to mention that. Also, just thank you for sharing. Just, you guys don't know this, if you're a newer viewer or listener to this podcast, Worldview Matters, personally, I've been censored and shadow banned by Facebook, Meta, for 15 years probably. And it's still happening. It still happens. And I still get posts pulled down. YouTube, I've gotten warnings. So far, thank God they have not deleted my videos or my channel, but that could happen. And that's why I put everything up on Rumble. Freedom Project does the same thing. They put them on YouTube, and they also put these podcasts on Rumble as a backup. But it's good to get out. A lot of people are on one or the other. So all that to say, keep praying and just keep on sharing, because that's how we're getting out there. I also want to just mention this. I wasn't going to, but we are considering looking at the possibility of doing a conference in the next year, and I'll just tell you that as we decide firmly to move forward on that and bring in some great speakers and just have a great Christian Worldview conference in Northeast Wisconsin, Green Bay area. So pray about that, and let me know if you're interested, and if you know someone who might want to help with something like that. It's a huge endeavor. Okay, it looks like I just, thanks, Jeff, for putting that graphic in front of me. I forgot about that. We have been making some progress, thanks to you guys. It looks like we're on pace to go over 2 million podcast downloads just this year. So that's a great thing. And we've got people, I think I mentioned this once before, top countries listening or watching to Worldview Matters, U.S., of course, Canada, Australia, and the U.K., subscribers on Apple Podcasts jumped 650% in the last year. So that means we're getting out there, and praise God for that. And we are still, from what I understand, ranked in the top 50 podcasts, Christian podcasts worldwide. So, Lord, Your will be done. Thank you. Thank you, God. All the glory goes to Jesus. That's why we're doing this, guys. Biblical worldview, and we're just really trying to not just grow numbers. We're trying to impact lives and help you as a believer in Christ be more productive and effective in your faith, in your sphere of influence, in our culture and in our country, ultimately, and around the world, of course, with other countries. Thank you. So back to the media now. I just wanted to mention this. The public trust, we've done polls on this before. We've talked about this, but over at Newsbusters, the public trust in news media drops to another low. Well, what is that low? Well, let's look at what it is. After hitting a record low last year, Americans' trust in the nation's legacy media has sunk even lower. So today, what are those numbers? 7 in 10, that's 70%, have either not very much confidence or no confidence at all in the news media. It's sad, but that's a good thing, because the leftist, progressive, Marxist, liberal tilt and spin they put on most news and a lot of outlets just are not fair and balanced. You can't say journalists in a lot of contexts. You have to say journalist activists. And so here's another one. If you look at that chart, that's very interesting. The green line on the top there, the green line, that's people that have a great deal or a fair amount of confidence in the news media. Over on the left, it started back in 1972, I think, was the first time they did this poll. It jumped up to 1975, and since then, look at where it is now. Now it's down to 28%. Have a great deal or a fair amount. The middle line there is the blue line. That's not very much confidence in the news media at all. And that's now around 36%. And then the dotted line is none at all. I have no confidence in any news media outlets. And that's 34%. So you can see, but let me share something that's interesting. I like to point this out every time we talk about this. Because a lot of Democrats control the media and news stations and things like that. Still, over half of Democrats still have confidence in the news media. Well, why do you think that is? Because it's kind of an echo chamber for a lot of them. So I just wanted to point that out. But it's really sad nonetheless. Sad, not surprising. Next, let's talk about NPR briefly. Who's not considered NPR's evening guest list? Let's talk about the guests, whether they have conservative or liberal guests. And so you wouldn't be surprised, but listen to this. Well, here's what they say. NPR president and CEO Catherine Mayer amazed the House Republicans when she testified to Congress earlier this year in March that she had never witnessed any liberal bias on NPR. We've called it National Progressive Radio for about 10 years or more. But she said before Congress, she's never witnessed any liberal bias. Well, if you flip over to the chart there, 53-3, what do those numbers represent? Well, all things considered, prefer liberal guests, 53-3. That's not even close, friends. I mean, that's a ratio of 17.7-1. 53-3. There's the chart on page 2 of this article. So 53 liberal guests versus 3 conservative guests. This is NPR, paid for by tax dollars and extra funding. There it is right there. So take a look at that. Understand now, back to her quote, the president and CEO of NPR literally said with a straight face that she has never witnessed any liberal bias on NPR. And I mean, there's story after story like this, and the numbers continue to back up and enforce what we just talked about. So this is a problem that we're not surprised, but we just want to get it out there. We're saddened. And I just really want to mention again, if you want resources, I've got to update this page, by the way. It's on my website. If you go to davidfiorazzo.com, and under more, you can click on resources, and that you can get over 200 resources for Christians, conservatives, independents, people who are interested in true journalism and really what's happening in the world, not just activism and bias. Now, I admit I have my conservative biases. I'm a Christian. I see things a certain way. But when it comes to getting people the information, I'd rather have people get both sides, fair, balanced information. What? Give me the facts and let me decide based on my worldview. So that's, you can share those resources. Now, let's move on to the next topic, and that is Ken Ham came out with his response to a recent poll, and there was a State of Theology survey that was done. This is really disturbing, friends, because over half of U.S. adults apparently claim religion should not influence political decisions. So let me ask you this, Christian. How do you keep, when you go to vote, for example, how do you keep your faith separate, or your worldview, how you see the world, how you see morality, laws, culture, society, how do you keep that separate from your political decisions on who you're going to vote to represent you? It's impossible. I've said this before. It's like when you go to an election, you can't leave Jesus, who we claim to follow and believe in. We can't leave him in the car and go vote and then come back and say, all right, Jesus, he knows who we vote for. So let's talk about this. Here's what Ken Ham writes. Quote, over half, 54% of U.S. adults agreed with this statement. Christians should not allow their religious beliefs to influence their political decisions. 54%. So over half of U.S. adults think that wrongly. Filtered for those with evangelical beliefs, the number dropped, but only to 29%. That means one out of three supposed evangelicals does not believe that their religious beliefs, their faith, should impact their political decisions. They don't understand what a truly biblical worldview is. And he goes on, ironically, at the same time, 95% of that same group believe that the Bible has the authority to tell us what we must do. If we are Christians, the Bible is our authority, right? So the Bible has the authority to tell us what we do or what to do, unless it's a political decision, unless it's voting. How do you separate it? You cannot, friends. But a lot of people, sincere people, really think this wrongly or believe this. That's inconsistent nonsense. So I just want to mention one verse on this topic, and there are many, 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 many more. But Matthew 12, verse 30 says this, whoever is not with me is against me, Jesus said. Again, whoever is not for me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. So Jesus himself said that. There is no neutrality. Scripture makes this plain. There's no gray area. And especially, I think, in 2025 in America, you see this very clearly, this spiritual battle. Worldviews are colliding. But when it comes to politics and when it comes to government, God set up how to have civil government, and that's biblical, actually. So we can talk about that another time. We have quite a bit, so I don't want to be redundant here. But someone's morality will be legislated at the ballot box. When you elect certain people, they impact or they come up with legislation, they vote on it, they pass laws. That's the morality. So we have a say on whether we would prefer a moral, even based on the Ten Commandments or a biblical worldview, a Christian influence in our society. People wrongly say, well, you guys want to control other human beings? It's impossible. That's a straw man argument. We can't control people, nor would we want to. God doesn't want to control people. He gives us free will. Free will. We can vote. We can choose. We don't have to follow him, right? So, and he would never, by the way, I've heard this before. God would never force someone to be in heaven against their will. Isn't that good? So everybody has a choice who to follow, who to trust in. Are you trusting in Jesus or are you believing in this world and rebelling against God, the God of creation? So politics matter because policy is important, right? And it impacts people's lives. So one more quote from this article and then we'll move on. Ken Ham writes, politics is simply legislated morality, and morality is the result of your worldview. Leftists legislate the murder of unborn children, the genital mutilation of children and teenagers, and the perversion of marriage and sexuality because of their worldview, their religion. whether that be their godless abortion arguments or the climate cult or socialism or any other things. These are religions, friends. So someone's morality will be legislated. I don't want to beat that into the ground. So let me go back to the survey, though, that he talked about over at A Life with a State of Theology. Here's what evangelicals agree are principles, important principles. Well, number one, the Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. Number two, it is very important for me to personally encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number three, Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin. And number four, only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. Okay, so these are four key principles, core values and principles from the Bible that evangelicals agree on. Now, wow, are you ready? What do these same evangelicals who believe these foundational truths, what do they believe beyond these four? Well, here we go. 64% believe that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. 53% agree that everyone sins a little bit, but most people are good by nature. When the Bible says the heart of man is wicked and beyond cure. Anyway, 53% think that the Holy Spirit is a force, but not a personal being. 47% agree that God accepts the worship of all religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, whatever. God accepts the worship of all religions? Okay. By the way, Pastor Matthew Mayer and I talked about this last week on a podcast on different spirits, worldviews colliding, the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. There are certain things that we need to make distinctions about spiritually, because there's the Holy Spirit and there are unholy spirits that influence people. Understand that. So that's how you can understand, okay, I see how people can kind of fall for these, some of these ideas then. What about this one? Now, this is evangelicals or professing evangelical Christians. 28% say Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. Okay, I think, let's see, I think the Mormons also, oh, I'm not, Islam, Muslims also believe that, that Jesus was a prophet or a great teacher, but he wasn't God. So we believe in Jesus is God, deity. The word became flesh. Jesus was with God. He was God. He was created. He was not created. He was the creator in the beginning. Anyway, one more. 28% think that religious belief is not about objective truth. And another 19%, ready? Evangelical Christians, 19%, almost 20% weren't even sure how to answer some of these questions. So that goes to the biblical illiteracy that unfortunately we've been talking about. So number one, two takeaways. First, parents, my goodness, this day and age, you, because of the weakness and the wishy-washy churches and some churches that are not teaching the biblical worldview strongly, you've got to teach your children. And that's biblical, by the way. God put that responsibility on the parent to raise up their children in the ways of the Lord and knowledge of the Lord, okay? It's not up to your pastor. It's not up to 1 hour on a Sunday or a Sunday school class to teach your children the biblical worldview. Parents, please, you've got to do that. Number two, pastors and other Christian leaders need to stop assuming that their congregations know what the Bible teaches on core and important topics that people are struggling with. Hello, male, female, talk about creation, the existence of God, creation, gender, male, female, marriage as God defined it between one man and one woman. You've got to teach these things. I know I'm preaching to the choir to a lot of you guys watching and listening, but our pastors, a lot of our pastors don't get it. They don't get how bad the biblical worldview is in our nation. So there's one article. People will accuse us of being Christian nationalists, white supremacists. I'm tired of these things. Don't take the bait. Please don't take the bait. I've got an article here. Remember Don Lemon? He used to be on, I think, MSNBC. He smeared Charlie Kirk's memorial service as being white nationalists and fake Christianity. If you watched any portion of that, before, as God is my witness, I don't know how you can have that takeaway from that worshipful, Jesus-centered memorial service for Charlie Kirk when you saw the people humbly praying, worshiping, and all the proclamations of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ from the biblical worldview. They weren't talking about forcing that on anybody, but they were stating they wanted to honor Charlie, and Charlie pointed people to Jesus Christ. So people that accuse you of being a certain thing, just don't take the bait. That's my best advice at the moment. Okay, really quick, I want to bring up a very quick headline from Cheryl Chumley. This just came out last week. Americans tragically and immorally are turning against Israel. Now, she just took two trips to Israel, and we had her on the podcast last week, if you want to look that one up, but about a week and a half ago. But she recently came out with this. Israel's war is America's war, is civil society's war, and support for Israel is important. She said, but tragically, Americans have been turning against Israel. Well, I don't understand it, but then you look at the lack of biblical worldview. If people don't understand the Bible, the connection with the New Covenant and the Old Covenant, that the church is grafted in, the church did not replace Israel as if Israel could be replaced. And there's more arguments we could talk about, but let's just mention one thing. Pew Research Center found in a poll a couple weeks ago, about 6 in 10 Americans, 60%, have an unfavorable view of Israel. This is wrong, and we need to continue to stand up for the Bible and what the Word of God teaches. So it's messaging, it's politics, it's propaganda. But now I just do want to mention a couple things from an article I put up recently over at Harbinger's Daily. And they changed the title, but they used a quote: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that, of course, if you think about Charlie Kirk and others. And remember, most of us biblical Christians, you know, watching, listening this, most of you and myself, we believe pretty much the same things from a biblical perspective, worldview perspective, as Charlie Kirk. So to others on the left and the ones that would accuse us of hate speech, they think simply what we believe is hateful. So let me just share a couple things, because I believe we're seeing a perfect storm here in America. Two things happening at the same time that should not be. Evil is advancing, and too many churches have been silent. And this has been a problem over the past many, many decades. So something had to give. After the assassination of Charlie Kirk, we see more clearly than ever these two kingdoms colliding, the spiritual warfare, the two kingdoms colliding. In this clash of worldview, one kingdom justifies chaos and destruction in the name of, let's just say, democracy or oppression. And the other proclaims true freedom found only in Christ. That would be the biblical worldview. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is God. His truth endures forever. I want to mention a handful of scriptures, actually, I want to get to. I know I'm running out of time here, but the question before that I want to ask, what will it take, and I ask this to a lot of our guests, what will it take for more professing believers in Christ to get equipped and prepared in this country? What will it take? What kind of tragedy, what kind of crisis do you think it'll take? And then I want to mention the scripture. I think I shared this early on after the assassination. The scripture that Charlie Kirk sent out to his close-knit staff and friends the morning he was assassinated. Because he understood the battle from both the physical and the spiritual. He understood that biblical perspective. And the morning he was assassinating, here's the scripture he sent out, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. "A wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Wow. So then if we drop down and read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul also had a lot of doors of opportunity. But he had a lot of opposition, as we read in the New Testament. What did the Apostle Paul do? He went through the door anyway. Whenever there was a door, he took it. Here's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we do not want you to be unaware of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. So friends, let's wrap it up by reminding ourselves that we can trust God with our past, present, and future. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. And praise God, future, he will deliver us. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So Jesus said, remember, they hated me first. If the world hates you, or when the world hates you, they hated me first. Because 2 Timothy reminds us, all who want to honor God and live godly lives will suffer persecution. 1 John 3:13, don't be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. Because we have to remember, we're in a spiritual battle first, but that battle more than ever is manifesting now in the natural. One more section of scripture, and then we've got to wrap it up. This is a perfect storm, friends, that we're in. But John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. One more, I lied. I want to share one more with you, and that's to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14. It simply says this, because we can do all things through him and we need help. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. And let all that you do be done in love. That's from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. So there's much more in this. I hope that if you go to my website, you can look that up, When Cultural Chaos Collides with Comfortable Churches. It's on Harbinger's daily website as well. There it is. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So we're thankful for Harbinger's daily support. We're thankful for your support and your prayers for keeping us going. I'm blessed by the number of great, excellent, and expert guests that we get to talk to and we get to learn from in the biblical worldview. Hopefully it's encouraging to you. We will keep it going, Lord willing. But God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. We'll see you next time.